Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate Casey Alexander joining us earlier. We asked him about the Belmont job, and I don't know what they want, how it'll all go. No matter what, I'm interested in Belmont because Belmont's played a significant role in my life. Now, that doesn't mean I'll be coaching their team next year by any stretch. We'll just wait and see what happens there. Talked about 20 years that he has put in over there, 20 teams, 20 teams of players. Nobody means more to him than Rick Byrd.
He graduated from there. His wife graduated from there.
So
Belmont ties are strong.
He's an awesome dude. Wish him the best.
Yes.
And I know it's interesting because Lipscomb and Belmont are such huge rivals. But you know, always heard that he was the guy waiting for Rick Byrd. The question just was, does Casey Alexander want something bigger or
different?
Or does Mama's voice have a more homely ring to it? I don't know. So sure sounded like there would at least be a discussion. And that he's interested in that job, no doubt.
But he has one more game to play.
Yes. So. That's Lipscomb in Texas coming up tomorrow, NIT championship game. You can catch it right here on 104.5 The Zone. And we could start there, Todd Furman, the NIT. I don't know how much time you spent breaking down the NIT matchups, but Texas, a 1.5-point favorite over Lipscomb at this point.
Hey, I was sitting on the edge of my seat watching Lipscomb in the NIT semifinals when they went down 61-50, and I got them early on +1.5. Thought that ticket was dead and buried before the Bison came back to life. Pretty impressive run they put forth in the NIT, a nice consolation prize for being left out of the big dance. And I see no reason why they can't knock off a Texas team that I think has been relatively fortunate. This game should probably be a little bit lower scoring, though, than we've seen Lipscomb play. I don't think it'll be as ugly as Texas's 58-44 win against TCU, but I think Cinderella has a chance to win the NIT, and it would be an impressive story for Lipscomb to do so.
Really would. So when we start in with the Final Four, one number one seed, no one and done type dudes. What do you think when you look at this Final Four field?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said, Brown. Whether it was Villanova winning the national championship last year, primarily with upperclassmen, or the trends that we started to see emerge, one and dones are great to win games in the regular season. But when you need to win basketball games that mean the most, you love to be able to lean on chemistry and experience. And that's the common denominator with all of these teams. Whether we start with Auburn, kind of the long shot still remaining with their veteran backcourt. You look at Michigan State, Cassius Winston will probably be able to go right from starting point guard at Michigan State to dominating games at the YMCA in the not-so-distant future. Meanwhile, you look at the other two teams, Texas Tech led by a top-five pick and sophomore Jarrett Culver. And, of course, the team that I picked to win it all before the tournament, Virginia, a slew of upperclassmen who learn from the heartbreak of that loss against UMBC, and I just feel like they're a team of destiny right now, but obviously still plenty of basketball yet to be played.
Who did the public bet the most money on, Todd? Was it Duke and Zion?
Duke was definitely the popular choice in the futures market, and the nice part for the book, Mickey, was that given they had such short odds all season long, there wasn't really a whole heck of a lot of liability. I mean, we talked to Dave Mason from betonline.ag every Wednesday during the NCAA tournament on our Bet the Board podcast, and he said the only future they really were sweating was North Carolina. These four teams, despite long shot odds available on Auburn and Texas Tech, on Auburn's case is recently at the beginning of the month, no real reason for them to worry. They're going to be happy with any of these particular outcomes.
You're all in on Bruce Pearl and Auburn, aren't you?
I am not, but I just want to know, Don, have you been contacted by as many prominent media outlets as Charles Barkley to do appearances this week, knowing the pedigree that you have from down there on the plane?
Yeah. That's right. I sported that 34, too.
So when I look, and I think what Bruce Pearl did is nothing short of astounding and incredible. To get this team headed in the right direction, to reinvent themselves, to get that Kentucky monkey off their... where you really have to dread. If you're going to rely on your outside shooting, Virginia holds their opponents to less than 30% from beyond the arc. They're going to turn it into a grinder, try and play standpoint or points per game allowed. I just think Virginia's got too many ways they can beat you. DeAndre Hunter becomes the X factor. And Bruce Pearl, as he said this morning on national radio, good chance he'll break down at the podium in a post-game press conference.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows what Auburn wants to do, and everybody, nobody's been able to really stop them. They did lose 7 conference games, but during this run where they appear to have bought in defensively, they've been almost untouchable. Now, they did find a different way against Kentucky to win. They only hit 7 threes. They went to the rack. They hit the mid-range jumper. Attack. It will be an interesting matchup, though, stylistically, as you said. Virginia wants to play defense and grind it. Auburn wants to get up and down the floor and shoot threes.
There's no doubt about it, Brent. If you would have told me that Auburn scores 60 points in regulation against Kentucky, I would have told you before that game ended. They probably lose by double digits yet again, but the reality of it was they committed on the defensive end. I just wonder if Kentucky, though, was a little bit complacent, and it sounds like I'm diminishing Auburn's win. But I don't get the feeling Kentucky had the right game plan, and Auburn adjusted on the fly. They found ways to operate in the half court. But Virginia takes that to a whole nother level. And the difference between Virginia and Kentucky, Virginia has upperclassmen guard. And when you watched in crunch time for Kentucky, every time they needed a bucket, if they couldn't get to P.J. Washington, there was nobody to create on the perimeter. I think that ultimately becomes the deciding factor in this contest.
Who do you like as the potential most outstanding player of this whole thing when it's done?
Oh, I think DeAndre Hunter is going to play a big role, Mickey. I know he was in Tony Bennett's doghouse late in the game against Purdue, but reemerged in overtime and showed some of those aggressive tendencies that make him potentially a first-round draft pick into the NBA this coming summer. So his ability to score in double digits, use that athleticism at 5-1 makes some sense. But if you want to go off the grid a little bit, and I don't think anybody has really talked about Texas Tech, go with their best player in Jarrett Culver at 7-1. Now, they're going to be underdogs not only against Michigan State, but regardless who won the other semifinal. So they'll have some work to do, but when you look at him averaging over 20 points per game and what he's going to be able to translate doing at the next level, I think Culver makes an awful lot of sense knowing that he's put Texas Tech on his back.
Yeah, a lot of money on Auburn. It's more of a 50-50 shot with Texas Tech and Michigan State. Do you find value with Texas Tech and getting 2.5 points?
I don't think there's a whole lot of wiggle, Brent. I would have needed 3.5 to make a case for the Red Raiders.
Okay.
I love what they do defensively, but what scares me is that they have had a penchant for getting out-rebounded, and that's not the recipe for success against Tom Izzo and company. The other game, you're spot on, though. 3 out of every 4 tickets coming in on Auburn, and the guys I've talked to both offshore and locally have said their biggest sweat probably of the entire weekend will be Auburn on the money line.
Any props you like with this, Todd?
You know what? I haven't seen a ton yet, Mickey. Typically with college hoops, most books will wait closer to tip-off. I would be intrigued by DeAndre Hunter if his over-under is in that 14.5 range. I think he has the opportunity to go for upwards of 20 against Auburn's undersized defensive front. And I would actually look at some of the guards for Auburn trying to make a case to go under. I think Bruce Pearl is going to have to go to his secondary and tertiary scoring options. Can't see a scenario where Virginia allows Harper and Brown to go bonkers after what Carson Edwards was able to do to them in the Elite Eight matchup.
Can we look a little ahead to the Masters since it's right around the corner? Who do you like?
I think when you look at the Masters, there's obviously an extensive track record for all these guys. It's the one major where there's one constant, and that, of course, is the course. Rory McIlroy at 8-1, I don't think, for me, offers enough value. We know Tiger's always a fan favorite at 12-1. When I go down the list, I'm always going to be intrigued by Bubba Watson at 25-1. Don't love the current form. I think Jordan Spieth undervalued at 20-1. And then I have to do a little bit of digging before I identify a long shot or two. Hopefully I'm able to share with you guys this time next week.
What do you think about, you're a big hockey guy, teams going into the playoffs that have to grind it out and play every game in the regular season trying to win, or teams that cave it out, try to get some rest? Who has the advantage typically?
For me, Brent, given how we've seen past President's Trophy teams flounder in the postseason, I feel the grind of the regular season when you're going after being the leading point getter and just got to do can ultimately take its toll. Now, I know the Lightning have kind of been in cruise control, but you look at Nashville, Winnipeg, and St. Louis, obviously in the Central, all still with a great chance to win the division. I think if you can build that momentum, secure home ice, the Western Conference for me feels about as wide open as it is. I look at the Pacific, San Jose is slumping. And I just can't believe that Winnipeg has struggled down the stretch.
Yeah.
I want to buy on Nashville now because everybody appears to be jumping off the bandwagon as far as national media is concerned.
I like it.
Okay.
Wow. Positivity locally from Todd Furman.
Well, I can offer you more there. I'm not quite sure I can do so on the Titans if Marcus Mariota is afraid to come back from the Hawaiian Islands with all the meat things people have said about him this offseason.
man, we should have cut that call 20 seconds ago.
Yep.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, Don. Good luck to your alma mater this weekend.
Thanks, War Eagle Todd.
He'd already dropped.
He already hung up.
No, he was still there when you said that.
I can't get a War Eagle back.
At Todd Furman.
That's bunk. Come on now.
Bunk. Here you go with the 1920s again.
That's a new word.